Unlocking the Paranormal. You are listening to a Paranormal Pen Pals episode, where your eerie, ghostly, cryptid, UFO, or any other unexplained encounters come to life. If you are wondering how you can join the Paranormal Pen Pal community, you can write your story and share it via email at unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com or through our Instagram or Facebook platforms. Whether you believe in the supernatural or not, these tales will make you question the shadows you see out of the corner of your eye and the creaks you hear at night. So, settle in and prepare to be spooked by the mysterious and the unexplained. Because today, I have got quite the collection of stories to share. From weird shadow figures, hearing disembodied voices, spirits of a young girl, and extremely haunted houses. Then we will hear someone's experiences shared directly from them. Now, let's get into it. This first story that I will be sharing is downright scary. And it goes, it was the summer of 2002 when the following took place. Since I was born, I was always subject to odd things happening in our household. But it wasn't until our family moved into a well-known apartment complex in Seymour where my life would be turned upside down. I would end up seeing something that would scar me and haunt my thoughts to this very day. Whatever it was in that apartment, it was evil and obsessed with torturing me out of everyone in my family. Its presence grew stronger and stronger as time passed. I would explain to my parents and sister what I would see or hear, and it just seemed like nobody would ever believe me until odd things started happening to them. One time I woke up around 4 a.m. and the moon was so bright. You could see the bluish hue light up the room that me and my sister shared at the time. I woke up to the sound of my parents' doorknob shaking violently down the hall. My first instinct was to ask, "Everything okay, Dad?" There was no reply back, and the doorknob stopped shaking. I instantly knew there was someone in our home. I leaned over and looked in the hallway from my bed and saw this 6 to 7 foot shadow standing in the middle of the hallway. No one in my family is over 5'7". Panic and fear set in, thinking we were getting robbed, and all I can think of is, this is how I die. I slowly moved back into my bed, under the covers, and whisper my sister's name, trying to wake her up. My sister asked across the room loudly, "What's up? I'm sleeping." I whispered back, "Shh, there's someone in the hallway." Silence. My sister had fallen back to sleep. I peeked back towards the hallway to see this thing hiding along the side of the wall as if it were trying not to be seen. I can see its chest moving up and down as if it were breathing heavily. Another thing I noticed was how oddly long its fingers were. I have never felt such fear in my body than in that moment, as I feared for the life of my family at this point. I had no idea what I was looking at. I woke my sister back up because, of course, when you get scared, the instant feeling of having to use the bathroom kicks in. My sister, groggy and half asleep, follows me to wait outside the bathroom since I was paralyzed in fear. As I was washing my hands, I could hear my sister walking back to the room. I quickly dried my hands, shut the lights off, and started speed walking down the hall, back to the room. I instantly hear running footsteps growing louder and faster behind me. I ran, shut the door, locked it,
and jumped into bed. My sister asked me if I was all right, because she can see how nervous I was. We shrugged all of this off as possibly being half asleep and started to close our eyes. That's when we both woke up to the sound of the door violently shaking, as if whatever it was behind it wanted to get in and would stop at nothing. The door suddenly stopped shaking. Silence filled the room. I asked my sister, "Did you hear that?" She replied back in a nervous tone,
"Yeah."
I made a dash for it and pounded on the wall with my fist as hard as I possibly could, yelling for help. I could hear my dad get out of bed frantically and run to our bedroom door knocking and asking if everything was all right. We explained to my dad what had happened, and he checked everywhere and found no one in the apartment. Every window and door was locked from the inside. Till this day, the image of what I saw still haunts me. That place was evil. It changed our family for the worst, and the feeling of dread and depression filled the walls of that apartment like never before. I really don't know what I saw that day, but I'm glad that never happened to me or my family again. Now that I have you all very nervous and spooked, let's get into the next few stories. Now I'm going to share another story where someone experiences a very haunted house. It is titled Haunted House in Encino, Los Angeles. The letter reads, "A few years back, I rented a house in Encino, California. It was a small house that was built in 1949 in the Encino Park area near Balboa Park. The original of the structure of the house was still there, and they had converted the single-car garage into another room with a bathroom and a lofted area. I also want to add off by saying that I have been told by mediums that I am a sensitive, and I have had some paranormal / ghostly encounters throughout my life. So, if you do not believe in these things, please stop reading. So, anyways, right when me and my partner moved into the house, I got some weird feelings. I felt like we were being watched the entire time that we were unloading our van. I also had the constant feeling that I was being watched throughout this small house. There was hardly ever a moment where I was home alone and actually felt like I was home alone. But let me get to it. I mentioned the lofted area earlier because I will say I had the most experience I've ever had in that area. The room with the loft was also my office, so I was constantly in there because I do work from home. I used the lofted area as storage. I had clothing up there as well as a bunch of other antiques. So, in my office, there was a loft, and then I set up my desk with my back facing the loft. I would constantly feel like I was being watched, and on a few occasions, I spotted a young girl hiding between items in storage and looking down on me. I have experienced apparitions in the past, but something about this spirit terrified me to the core. Something told me not to communicate with the spirit. I got a gut feeling that there was something off. A few times I saw the spirit / apparition. It appeared in two different forms. One time I saw the spirit, and it was a young blonde girl with long hair covering her face. I could make out some of the features of her face, but for the most part, her face was covered by her hair. I could see her body because it appeared to be crouching in between items to spy on me. Then the other time I saw the spirit, it appeared as a dirty child with dark hair wearing something that was similar to a sack. The apparition would only last for a few seconds and then completely disappear. I did my best to bless the area, and I even cleansed some of the vintage items that I had acquired. I wasn't sure if it was a spirit that was attached to an article of clothing or an antique that was in storage. I got the gut feeling that the apparition was actually attached to the property, but I wanted to cross my T's and dot my I's, just to be on the safe side. By the way, side note, me and my partner have now left this house, and I still have all of my antique slash vintage clothing, and I have not experienced the same things I experienced at that house. As time went on, weird things happened. My computer would turn off and on. I would leave the room and things that were on the desk would just disappear. Things like that. Things that I feel like are normal during a haunting. But the thing that really weirded me out was the amount of times I got injured at that house. I hit my head a dozen or so times and gave myself some really gnarly concussions. I was also physically pushed off two sets of stairs, and both times I injured my foot pretty badly. The same foot both times. Now, the first time I was injured, I didn't think anything of it. I thought, maybe I was just trying to adjust to a new space. My very first incident in that house occurred on the day I moved in. I was unpacking a box in the loft and felt compelled to stand up, thinking I had enough space between the ceiling and my head. I didn't. I hit my head so hard, I actually gave myself a mild concussion. Every time I hit my head, I would think that I had more space than I actually did, and ended up hitting my noggin. It was in various locations at the house. In the kitchen counter, the sink, the closet, just random areas that were associated with the house. Then, with the incidences where I was pushed off the stairs, one occurred about a month after moving into the space. I vividly remember something hitting the back of my knees, and I just went down. The second time it happened, it felt like the same thing. The weird thing about the stairs is it happened in two separate locations. One set of stairs leads into the house from the back, and that was where I fell for the first time. And the second set of stairs leads into the room that was used as my office. So, after all of the injuries and sightings, I invited a friend over who I know is also a sensitive. I didn't tell him anything that was going on. I wanted to see if he could have an organic experience. He came with his partner, and after a tour of the house, his partner was insistent that we check out the storage area so that they could look through my antiques. I was hesitant at first, but eventually caved. As my friend's partner and I were looking through my antiques, my friend kept coming in and out of the office area and kept giving me weird looks. I would find him looking up at the storage space, give me a flabbergasted look, and then leave the room. He did this maybe two more times before me and his partner finally came out of the room. As they were leaving, I pulled my friend aside and asked if he had experienced anything. He told me that he saw a small blonde girl that was hanging around me and his partner. He said it looked like the young girl was trying to be a part of our conversation. Like she was standing quietly behind, or at one point sitting next to me and his partner. I'm very curious as to what or why something was haunting that area. So if anyone has any ideas, I am interested in hearing what you have to say. Also, if anyone has any facts associated with the area, I would greatly appreciate it. What makes this story so compelling is that not only did this person experience seeing this small young apparition of a blonde-haired girl, but their friend also experienced seeing the same exact thing. It just adds extra validity and creepiness to the experience. Unlike the first story, which includes being haunted by a mysterious person, the next story involves possibly knowing the visitor, and quite possibly what someone experiences right after death, with maybe not knowing that they're gone. The story is titled, Something Happened After My Dad Passed Away. This was back in 1994. I was 7 at the time. My dad had just passed away a few days ago from a car accident. He had to drive to Atlanta for work and sadly didn't make it. I think it was the 3rd night alone with just my mom and my sister when I woke up to my mom standing at the edge of the stairs, calling my dad's name as if she thought he or someone was trying to get into the house. This happened around the time my dad normally got home. He would get home around 4 to 6 a.m., depending on the shift. What made this event stick with me all these years is what happened shortly after she started calling out. There's a security keypad to the alarm at the back door that led to the garage, and it started beeping in a manner that suggested someone was trying to enter the disarm code. After that, my mom started freaking out. I began to climb out of my bed and walk to my door when the bullhorn alarm started going off. The house was on lockdown, and the garage closed, and no one was supposed to be there. When I got to my door, my mom was running and grabbing me, and she took me to my sister's room across the hall and hid us both in the closet and locked us in my sister's room. I heard her calling the police. The cops showed up and searched the area for nearly an hour and found nothing. I remember I left the closet when the police showed up and watched them walk around our whole house and check the surrounding woods. To this day, my mom thinks it was my dad's ghost coming home from work like he usually did. It stayed with me all of these years. Every door was locked, but it sounded like someone came home and tried to turn off the alarm. Thank you for reading. Glad to get this off my chest after so many years. Now, listeners, I will let you be the judge to determine which is worse. Knowing who the possible ghostly visitor could be, or not knowing. Sticking with the theme of haunted houses, which I must admit was on accident, the next story brings back memories of my first job as a babysitter. And while nothing like this exactly happened to me, I would have been terrified if it did. This next story is titled, Haunted House I Used to Babysit At. Several years ago, I used to babysit for my then boyfriend's brother's kids. The house was inherited by his wife from an older man she lived with and took care of before he died. I'll call him Joe. There was a sunroom you entered first, and for whatever reason, I felt compelled to say, "Hi, Joe," whenever I came over. One day, I go over to watch the kid. His parents leave, and I'm there like 5 minutes before I feel something in my eye, on my contacts. And I go to walk into the dining room, which had a big hutch with a mirror on it, to check. As I'm passing the steps leading to the upstairs, I hear a very loud, distinct
"Hello?"
from upstairs. I must have jumped like 3 feet in the air, my heart racing. I checked upstairs and there was no one. All windows shut, and they lived at the end of a cul-de-sac. No one around. I realized that I hadn't said, "Hi, Joe," that day when I walked in. Another day, the kid is napping and I'm at the dining room table on the phone, when I'm just looking at the mirror and see a man walk behind me in the hallway, like he's going upstairs. I'm like, "Someone's here." Hang up and check every room upstairs. No one. The parents came home not long after. I'm still shaking, and the brother says, "What is wrong with you? You look like you saw a ghost," and is laughing. I just point upstairs and say, "I gotta go." Not long after, I'm talking to the wife and say how I saw this man walk in, and he was older, wearing one of those Irish caps. She gets a picture and asked if it was him. I'm like, "Yes, hat and all." She says, "That's Joe," and they catch glimpses of him from time to time. My boyfriend never believed me, but his brother did. He said one Mother's Day, he hears a man's voice right in his ear say, "Get her flowers." Scared the hell out of him. Sorry, this was long. I haven't been over there in years, so I don't know if anything else happened. Now you will be hearing firsthand from Carolyn the details around her paranormal activity in her life in part 2 of this episode. I decided that it was best to share this in a separate episode. She provides great detail, and her story is rather long. She has quite the extensive history with paranormal activity, so I felt it was best to just share it in a separate episode. Part 2 will be released very soon, but I do want to pose a question to you. Do you think that people are naturally drawn to haunted locations? Or do you think people bring out the haunted activity in a place? Or can it simply just be both? This is a very important question to keep in mind for the second part of this episode when listening to Carolyn's story. I do want to thank you for listening to today's episode. This podcast is independently produced, and sharing it with friends, family, and your favorite coworkers helps me immensely. And don't forget to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. If you would like to join in and become a paranormal pen pal to have your story shared on the next ParaPals episode, email me your story at unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. And be sure you never miss a moment of the unearthly tales that await by subscribing to the show for free. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we will venture further into the realms of the paranormal. Until next time, stay curious, embark on the journey, and may you find the key to unlocking the paranormal.